The following program contains views that are not those of WVTC, iNetworks Communications, their subsidiaries, affiliates, or financial supporters.
Hey y'all, welcome to the Declaring War segment by the RSVP Show, where we get to the root of things and apply the Word of God to every aspect of our lives. Worship, application, and read is how we declare war upon the enemy and bring the light of God and His love for us into every atmosphere. Join your host, author, and singer-songwriter, April D. Metzler, as she and a few special guests dive deep into Scripture and demonstrate the Bible in action through their testimony. April is passionate about understanding the heart behind every subject and helping you pursue a relationship with God for a victorious life every day. Are you ready for real, candid, and vulnerable conversations about God, His Word, and His love for you? Grab your Bible, pen, and study pad, and let's get it.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another broadcast of the RSVP Show. I'm your host, April D. Metzler, and I am here with the Declaring War segment for the WVTC Gospel Radio Network Kingdom Collaboration that I'm a part of. And I am blessed and, of course, highly favored in the Lord to be able to partner with such beautiful sisters and brothers in Christ on the radio station. Well, I am going to be, of course, diving right in to this scripture, but we are going to bless this broadcast as always. So if you will go ahead and join me in prayer. I don't know what you're doing, where you're at, what's going on this day for you right now, but we're going to go ahead and get before the Lord and get prepared for receiving what is in these scripture passages. Okay, you guys. So hold on one second. Got to get prepared. Cleaned off. Just shake it off, you guys. All right. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for shaking off all of this nonsense of the world that's been at us today. If that's what we've been experiencing, or if there's just this extra busyness or running and gunning and doing all those sorts of stuff, Father, I just ask for your peace that surpasses all understanding to come sweeping into this environment right now, Father. Bless it, each person that's on this broadcast, with that abundance of your peace, Father, that's in Jesus Christ. Show them what that looks like in action in this moment as we submit all of our cares and our worries unto you. Cast all of those at your feet and let them go. And we get ready to get into the Word of God. And we ask that Holy Spirit lead us and guide us through this, and teach us in these matters even more than we understood in all of our yesterdays, Father. We seek your kingdom and your righteousness, and we seek your wisdom, not our own understanding, Father. We ask for that further enlightenment of the eyes of our hearts to be open unto your revelation and the knowledge of you, Father. What does that look like in action through your word? Help us, guide us, lead us, teach us, sharpen us, strengthen us, and all of the goodness of you, Father, that you have for us in the fullness that is your all in all, Father. We seek that and we ask for it in the name of Jesus. And we turn from every last thing of this world and repent of those things. And we give that all to you as well, Father. Teach us how to be cleansed and purified in your righteousness that is given to us in impartation to us as children of God. We just want to continue to be teachable, Father. We submit all of ourselves here today before you and before your word. And thank you and praise your name. And we count it as done. We know that these things that we are asking, you hear us. And if we know that you hear us, then we know that we have the things of which we ask for, Father. And we do so by faith in Christ. Thank you, Father. We praise your name and give you our yes and amen in full agreement. All right, you guys. So John chapter 14 is where we're at. I actually didn't even say that, I don't think. But we are in John chapter 14. And we are going to get right into it here. So I'm reading out the NASB 95 translation as always. Verse 1 says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know me, know him and have seen him." And so we're going to go ahead and stop right there. That is at verse 7 for you guys who are taking notes. A few things I want to talk to you about here, though. You know, there's a lot of things that we go through every day, and sometimes it gets overwhelming. Sometimes it gets stressful, and it takes our focus off of these basic truths that we have found to know, right? We've come to know these things. We know they are true. We have that belief structure established in our hearts, and yet there's these things of the world that happen, and life happens, right? And it's one of those things where this is a very comforting passage. You know, there's a lot that's fixing to come up for these disciples. Like, Jesus is going to go through everything that he did at Calvary, although they don't really know that yet. But he's trying to let them know that it's okay, even though he's not going to be there in the physical, he will be there for them in that all-knowing, all-seeing capacity that he and the Father, you know, are still going to be there and still delight in them and still love them. And so it was just this encouragement. And sometimes in our lives, it's good to hear someone remind us of these truths, because although we know them, it's just really great with an outside perspective coming in and saying, "Hey, you know what? God's got this. He's going to take care of this too, just like he did the last 6 years of your life, the last 10 years of your life, you know, your whole life, even before you were born. He knew you. He loves you." You know, those reminders are so good. So if you're in that season, I just encourage you to, you know, like Jesus said, do not let your heart be troubled. And you have that belief in God, right? And belief in Jesus. And that's all you need to get through these days. And as far as if you are not in that season, I encourage you to encourage others. And even if it's not well received, still continue to encourage others about how much God loves them and how much they are never alone. And so, of course, that's one of the things I can pull from the very first verse in here. And then, of course, we've talked about things in the past, like the difference in past broadcasts about the scripture translations. And in verse 2, it talks about, you know, I think there's like 3 or 4 different translations that talks about it being mansions. And of course, there's a lot of people that take that out of context, but I encourage you, as always, you guys, go back to the interlinear and pull up what those words actually mean. And speaking of, I wanted to highlight the word prepare in here. You know, it says, I would have told you, of course, if it were not so, but I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And the word actually in when it's talking about that in the Greek is to prepare. Bear with me. Are you ready? Hetoimazo. That's my best guess. I make ready and prepare. And that is Strong's Concordance number 2090 for someone that is looking at that. And you also want to go and reference 2092, which is a past tense of ready and prepared, past tense. It's accomplished. It's fitting. It's standing by and ready to meet the opportunity or challenge at hand, you know, because the necessary preparations are done. And so that's very interesting how that particular word is used when Jesus is using this, in conversation to say, hey, I'm going to be busy doing something. I'm making this ready. There are moving parts that still have to be accomplished, and those are my responsibility. It's not that I'm leaving you and saying I'm done with you. It's not that I don't love you. It's that I have these other things that have to be done before I can come back to you. But he then promises to come back to the disciples and to us, you know, and he's saying, I will. It's not an if, it's not a whole bunch of different little check marks have to be done before, but he says, I'm going to do this first, and then I will. And so there is a promise here of, you know, just a commitment. It's a long-term commitment. It's an eternity caliber of commitment for his love toward us who believe. And so in this, of course, that I'm intrigued to see what the word receive you to myself, receive. I bet you it's a fullness. I can imagine. I'm going to go back and check that out. And if you guys are going along with me, I encourage you to just jump over to BibleHub.com, and they have a free interlinear Bible available for you that pulls up the Hebrew and the Greek concordance numbers, and you just walk right through that study time with the Lord and just ask him, you know, to lead you through that. It's very easy to do, and it's not complicated, and it just gives you that substance that you're looking for, that you're searching for when you're trying to gather the context and the comprehension of the Word of God. And so it's actually the word receive, root word is paralambano. That's what we're going with. It's a verb, of course, and it's 3880 for those who are taking notes to look at later, but it means to receive from. So even acknowledge is another reference, but it's from close alongside and then to take by showing strong personal initiative. And so it's an intimate receiving, that full receiving. That's what I thought it was going to be. But we're going to, you know, sit here and think about that. What does it look like for Jesus to come back, right? And in fullness of love and acceptance and acknowledgement to receive you, what would that feel like? You know, rest in that meditation this weekend and, you know, really think upon these things as we learn them, right? That's what we're supposed to do, meditate on the word day and night. You know, and this is just a continuous thought, you know, focus on the love of God, right? And what does it look like for him to do that, to be fully accepting and receiving you, you know, completely when he returns? And so, and it's with an intention, right? That where I am, there you may be also. He wants us with him. All right, so we're going to move on and go through verse 8, and probably stop about 14, I'd imagine. All right, so it says, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. He thinks that's a simple request, right? Like, it has not been done yet. And Jesus responds in 9 and says to him, Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do also. Right? It's an also thing here, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the truly references in scripture, but that was actually like a cultural thing at the time. It was almost like a covenant or a contractual statement of firmness. Like, there's nothing at all. Whatever came after that truly was a solid statement that was completely trustworthy and unshakable and unchangeable. And so it's a very interesting how many times Jesus uses that emphasis to say, okay, no, I'm not just talking to hear my head rattle. I'm actually talking with firm foundational footing here. You can stand firm on these statements. They are so true that there is nothing that can come against them. And so I definitely just wanted to highlight that in verse 12 for sure, so that you guys, you know, do your own digging, dive into that cultural, historical references in how people talked and how they communicated back then, and the purpose of how God is being intentional in this moment to talk to them about this. And so, but it's interesting to me too, what really stuck out here when I was reading that just now is about the fact that how many times the word believe is used through this. And it's, he's speaking this in such a way that it's almost like, I don't care what all you think or outside of this, but I just need you to believe in this piece right here. Because when you believe in this piece right here, everything else is going to fall into place. You know, you've got to grasp this concept or else it just doesn't make sense. You've got to really, truly believe in this deep down to the very core of your bones, where you wouldn't shake, you wouldn't move, you wouldn't, you know, come on, you guys, this is where this is at. Like, it's a heart's petition to a heart, you know, it's Jesus sitting there telling him, you know, I am real. I am him. And as it's so much so that I am in him and he is in me. We are one of the same. You know, it's this, you see the Father when you see me, because I don't do anything unless the Father first tells me, or unless the Father first shows me, or unless the Father first teaches me. And something that we can take away from that example, like a key takeaway for our actual biblical application to walk this out, is his example of some submission and obedience. You know, he's not moving or going or doing or speaking unless, of course, God said so first. And in order to get to that point where he hears clearly and he sees things clearly and understands these things so that he can walk this out, he's investing, strategically investing, intentionally investing time with the Father. You know, I don't know how many times, and I really, just out of curiosity, probably could go around and look through the scriptures, but how many times does it say that he went away from everybody, or he went and prayed, or he was coming down from praying, you know, to the Father? There was just so many times in the passages when it talks about his ministry that he had this advanced warning or knowledge or understanding, you know, before he went into what he just did in the ministry aspect of it. And how often do we do that? What kind of time investment are we putting forth in time with the Father prior to doing what we're doing? And are we understanding that that's it? Like, you get this and you're golden, pony boy. You know, like, that is where it's at right there. It's the believe in me, and it's believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. And otherwise, you know, I just need you to believe, like, believe in the works, at least connect the dots. That's all I'm asking you to do, is just connect the dots. And then he says, you know, of course, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. So that's the other side of it. You know, it all starts with your belief. Like, it's got to be rooted and grounded in the love of Jesus Christ. And that knowledge of God has to be present in order for you to do the things that God is calling us to do according to His calling, the hope of His calling, not our own. And, you know, I don't know why, but Ephesians 1 keeps on coming up while I'm talking here. So let's go jump over there real quick. But there is a prayer for spiritual wisdom, and it, you can start it in verse 15, but I encourage you to read the full chapter of Ephesians 1, because it talks about, you know, our connection to Christ and being redeemed in Him, like in fullness. And so there is an acceptance teaching here for us to accept and believe in fullness what it is that God has for us as His children. It's a dot connection, if you will, at the very, very beginning of this letter to Ephesus. And it's wonderful that Paul actually sat there and wanted to like have that conversation with the church at Ephesus at the time, because it's needed, you know, and it's needed on a one-on-one basis, and it's needed on a congregational basis and in a body basis, like the body of Christ basis. We have to have these moving parts and puzzle pieces fitting perfectly together so that we can walk this out in fullness, not in partiality. There's a fullness of God who fills all in all, right? That is available to each of us, but it requires our devotion and commitment to the Lord. And so I definitely encourage you to delve in deep in this, whatever's coming up to you about this. If there's a any type of impression upon your heart, or you've got any type of conviction about this, then I definitely encourage you to get in the Word of God and seek His kingdom and His righteousness, right? We're seeking after the Lord. We're seeking to know Him more. We're seeking and desiring to understand and to get understanding and to get that spiritual wisdom, and thirsty and hungry for that. You know, we are so excited. And when's the last time that you were excited to just spend that time, invest that time, quality time with the Lord? Are you excited about it? And if not, like, what is it that's blocking you from being excited to, you know, have that time, see the Lord, you know? So we're on 15, but there's a confidence that comes with that knowing, and you can confidently ask, like, whatsoever you ask my name, I will do it, so that the Father is glorified in the Son, right? Like, it will be done unto you. And these things are available, and He reiterates that two times. Like, anything, if you ask me anything, there's nothing left out of anything, and it says, I will do it. That's not a maybe, sort of, kind of 50-50 shot. It's a, I will do it. Do you believe that to be true, though, is the question. And so 15, it says, takes it to a whole other level. This is Jesus's official testing of our love, like love test, right? Like, it's a figuring out, you can take one of those quizzes, right, and figure out this or that. I don't know, half those quizzes are silly, but the other half don't make sense. But if you do take those quizzes, you know what I'm talking about. And it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. His is very simple. The if and then test, if you will, we'll go science route. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So if you're not keeping His commandments, can we truly say we love the Lord? Like in fullness, not partiality. Again, there's a fullness and then there's a partial, and we want to be all in, not partially in only certain areas of our lives. And it's a full submission and a full reconciliation and completeness in Him. You know, I'm a partaker of His divine nature. I am now complete in Him, as an old lyric, and that is true. You know, he imparts to us his righteousness. We are clothed in robes of righteousness. We are children of God. We have the victory in Christ, and we are complete in him. We are made perfect. He makes us perfect in him. He says to be holy because I am holy, right? These things come to pass as we yield ourselves in obedience. That obedience, you know, is a sweet aroma, a sweet fragrance to the Lord. And so we maintain, we are consistently operating in, we keep, we protect, we hold fast to his commandments. And 16 says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. And I like to say, because we know that Jesus Christ, you know, is with us always, and, you know, God is ever present, and Holy Spirit is, you know, as well, I say, you know, Holy Spirit abides with us and dwells in us always, right? And so it's a living, operating in fullness, constantly present type of relationship. And so 18 says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And again, it's that complete, vulnerable, transparent fullness of knowing. And it's a complete belief and all-in type of reference here about this relationship. That is what we would be seeking to find, is his kingdom, his righteousness is all together in this relationship that we are reconciled back to God through Christ, and by that leading of Holy Spirit, he teaches us and guides us into all truths. And so, and it says in here, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Now Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? We're in verse 23 right now. It says, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So Jesus again says, in all humbleness and making sure that it's very clear that Jesus is not speaking on his own initiative, but these are the things which he is relaying that God has already said. These are the truth that the truths that are being established from heaven to earth. And so through the means of Jesus delivering that message, you know, he's operating as the mouthpiece of God and speaking to the disciples about the heart of God, the love of God, and what that type of relationship requires and looks like in action. And so 25 says, these things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you your remembrance all that I said to you. And I emphasize all because, again, there's absolutely nothing left out of all. And so if you have doubt or insecurity or fear knocking on your door about your abilities to do, to remember, to learn, what have you, remember, it's not in you. It's Holy Spirit operating with you together. You've got a teammate, you've got somebody that's got your back in these areas, and he can say in fullness, that he is going to teach you all these things, and he's going to bring to your remembrance all these things. It's not, the weight is not on your shoulders to figure all of this out and to gain understanding. It's on the shoulders of Holy Spirit, who is our helper. And so it's a definite interesting thing when we take ourselves out of the equation and we allow God to operate in and through us in the fullness versus that partiality. We don't want to just get a little bit of God. We want all of God. And what does that look like to yield to the process of being taught by God, not by our own experiences in life and our own comprehension levels? You know, there's so much to say about that, but I'll just leave that there with you so that you can meditate on that. What does that look like in action? You know, and seek him in these things so that he can teach you, remaining teachable. We're intentionally teachable, right? So verse 27 says, "Peace I leave with you." So right after he talks about Holy Spirit going to be there, and there's going to be someone, you know, right there available for any questions that you have while I'm gone preparing a place, he's also leaving peace. So peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. There's a difference, right? Do not let your heart be troubled. Second time he says that. Nor let it be fearful. You heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before it happens so that when it happens, you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Get up, let us go from here. So interesting. I might work my way backwards a little bit on a note here, but that whole time he's been talking to them about how, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will obey. You will submit. You will comply with the truth versus the world. You know, we're going to be conformed to the word, not the world. And so he says, he literally says that he, you know, is saying he loves the Father. He's outright saying, I love the Father, right? And I'm going to do all of these things that are lined out for me in obedience because I love the Father, so that the world will also know that I love the Father. I mean, he just drills that point home. And he says, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. So that's how, the how factor, that's how they're going to know that he loves the Father. And then he turns around and gives them a command. He says he's going to do exactly as the Father commanded him. And then he already explained in this big giant example here that he is in the Father and the Father is in him. And then he took it to a whole other level and said that I am in you and you are in me. And then he sits there and has this whole dot connection moment. And then he gives them an order. You know, if they literally, if they bucked the system right there and said, nope, I'm not getting up and I'm not going from here, I'm staying right where I'm at, they would literally be saying, I don't love you and I don't love God. But they didn't. They obeyed. So they followed his example. How many times in our days has God told us to do something and it weighs heavy on our hearts, or just this heaviness, you just got to speak this word to someone, or you've got to do this, and it just, it's like heavy on you, right? And then, and you don't do it. What are you telling God when you do that, right? Literally, he made it very simple in John 14, and he breaks it down, and it's easy. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will do exactly as I say. All right, you guys, that's all I got for you. I just want to throw that out there and challenge you to really meditate on what it is that you know of the Lord and what you still have left to know, what areas you've given to him and what areas you haven't. And really just do that personal inventory this weekend or next couple of weeks and see what God has to say about these things. You know, there's probably some stuff you can lay down and put to the side, and then other things of the Lord that you can pick up and put in those places. And more than likely, like he said, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, it's take my yoke upon you and learn from me. You know, my yoke is light. It's not heavy. We're going to trade out. We're going to do a trade. And I promise you that my trade that I'm giving you is 100-fold better than yours is. And is thousands of times lighter. And it's easy to do. It's easy to understand. It's not complicated. I love you. I will take care of you. I am never leaving you. You won't ever be alone. We've got this together, and everything that I'm teaching you, I will always bring it back to your remembrance in completeness and fullness to remind you that you are loved by me, right? As long as you keep my commandments, that shows me that you love me, is what he's saying. So I just, if you've been wondering how to demonstrate the love of God back to him, just respond in kind. That's what it says. It's an obedience. It's a submission. It's a seeking him and learning who he is through his word. All right, you guys, God bless you. And I will see you next week on another episode of the RSVP show for the Declaring War segment. All right.
Thank you so much for listening to this visit of the Declaring War segment by the RSVP show. We hope these moments of reflection and stillness for victory in your pursuit of God were a blessing to you. We encourage you to continue to worship, apply, and read the Word of God every single day while today is still today. Stay connected with April at April D. Metzler through social media. New music singles and her debut music album are available to add to your favorite playlist on streaming platforms. And you can get a copy of her book wherever books are sold. Learn more about the great things she is doing to bless God and his people on her website at aprildmetzler.com. Thank you for joining this visit with us. Always remember, God loves you.
Views made on the preceding program are not those of WVTC Radio, iNetworks Communications, or their financial supporters.
Winning victory through Christ, WVTC, Alsip, Chicago, and iNetworks Communications Station.